Deuteronomy chapter 33. Our text tonight is found in verses 24 and 25. Deuteronomy 33, beginning with verse 24. And of Asher he said, "Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Father, we thank thee tonight. Thou hast given to us the Holy Scripture. We pray that thou wouldst use it this evening to instruct us in your ways, that we might walk in them, be pleasing to thee, honoring to thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The topic tonight is quiet greatness. We have a saying that the last, but not least. And I think this is true here of Asher. Asher is the last in the list of the sons of Jacob, as we've made this study. But he is certainly not the least by any means. In fact, in many ways, he's perhaps the greatest of all. We have here, I believe, in the life of Asher, an example of a man of true greatness without a whole lot of fanfare. We seem to associate greatness with fanfare. And we find here in the life of Asher a man of true greatness, but without all the fanfare. So we'd like to look into three things regarding Asher. First of all, we'd like to look at his birth. And for that, we need to turn back to Genesis chapter 30 and verses 12 and 13. Genesis chapter 30 and verses 12 and 13, we find the birth of Asher. Asher was the second child of Zilpah, Leah's maid. And we read, "And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, 'Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed.' And she called his name Asher." Now, when this child was born, Leah cried out, "Happy am I." She'd already had four children of her own. This was the second then by means of her handmaid, giving her a total of six. And she, with bubbling up with joy, cried out, "Happy am I." And then she makes the further statement, "The daughters shall call me blessed." Now, actually, the word there, once again, also is happy. The daughters shall call me happy. It's the very same word as Asher, and so it can be translated happy. Actually, it's not the word for blessed. The common word for blessed is a different word. And so, for consistency's sake, we could translate it here, "The daughters will call me happy." And the word there is once again the word Asher in the Hebrew, and the verbal basis of that word means to be upright or straight, and then to be successful or to be fortunate and to be happy. And so there's the idea there of uprightness and directness and straightness, with successfulness and fortunate and happy. And this is the same word that is used in the first psalm. The first psalm we have, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly," etc. Actually, the word there is Asher, or Asherei, which means the blessings of the man. And so, but actually, the literal translation would be the happiness or the happinesses of the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So she says here, "They will call me happy." And then she says his name would be Asher, which means happy. And we ask ourselves, how did he get to be such a happy baby? Well, because he had such a happy mother. Because she said, "Happy am I." Well, you say, but is that really legitimate? Can you really say here that he was such a happy baby because his mother said, you know, "Happy am I," and she was so happy about his being born? Aren't you pushing the point a little bit? Well, January 24th, 1978, Grand Rapids Press says babies are smart people. And we read, this clipping says, believe it or not, babies do more than eat, sleep, wet, and make cute faces. They also think, remember, and learn more than previously assumed, says Gary Olson, a University of Michigan researcher who's tested the memory of nearly 1,000 infants. As recently as the early 1960s, infants were believed to be relatively insensitive to the world around them, Olson said. Now there's a growing recognition that infancy is an important period in the development of the mind and the nervous system. Listen to this. Even in the earliest experiences of the newborn, or rather, even the earliest experiences of the newborn may have an impact on shaping his personality and intellect. That means right from the very first day that you hold that child in your arms, your attitude is affecting the personality and intellect of that child. And so parents, and especially mothers that spend at the beginning at least the greatest portion of their time with the child, simply cannot afford to allow bitterness, envy, anger, worry, etc. in their lives because of the traumatic effect these attitudes will have upon that newborn infant, that child right from infancy. And so the traumatic effect of parental attitudes would warn us, that little baby that you're holding in your arms is right now in those first weeks having its effect on its character and personality and intellect according to the attitude of the mother. And so she said, happy am I? She called his name Asher, and he was a happy child. Let's notice this further in the study of his character, as we see in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 20, where we have the blessing that Jacob pronounced upon his sons. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 20, we read that Jacob said regarding Asher, out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Now, Jacob at the end of his life, as he looked at his sons, considered the 12 sons that he had, in referring to Asher, as he pronounced his name, was reminding himself that this lad, this man, was a happy man, according to the name given to him. Asher, happiness. But notice what he says regarding Asher. He says, out of Asher. Now, if you'll go down the list of Jacob's references to all of his other sons, this is the only one that has the prefix out of or from. All of the others, the name is mentioned directly. Reuben, Simeon, Zebulun, Issachar, Dan. Asher is the only one that has the prefix, the Hebrew prefix min, which means from or out of. And so Asher is the only one to whom he refers by saying out of or from him. In other words, Asher is the one that you get things from. Asher was the generous one. From Asher, referring to his generosity. And this is true. I think we find that a happy person is many times a very generous person in many ways, because, first of all, he doesn't have to be concerned about his own needs. He's not all up in knots about his own needs. He's happy. He's content. And so he's free to look around and see the needs of others. And so this builds the basis for generosity. On the other hand, an unhappy person is always looking around for somebody else to meet his needs. He's unhappy, and he wants other people to try and make him happy or do things that will make him happy or provide for his happiness. But the happy person is free to meet the needs of others. And so we find here that Asher was not only a happy person, but he was a generous person. And Jacob here says, then regarding Asher, he says, from Asher his bread shall be fat. Now, the word there implies that there will be abundance of this bread. His bread shall be fat. There shall be a fatness of bread. Perhaps that refers to the fact that if you have a need, Asher isn't going to give you the skinniest loaf. Because from Asher, there's fatness of bread. And if you have a need, he's going to meet it abundantly. He's going to be generous with you. He won't give you the smallest piece. He won't give you the smallest part. But he'll be generous with you. And I believe this is substantiated by the second part there where Jacob says, he shall yield royal dainties. Now, the word yield there can be in certain contexts translated yield, but it's basically the common, ordinary word for give. The word Nathan, Nathan, gift of Nathaniel, gift of God. And so it's the basic word for give. And so what Jacob is saying here then isn't so much that his fields shall yield, but rather that Asher himself shall give. He shall give royal dainties. In other words, when Asher gives you something, it's going to be good quality. High quality gifts, nice gifts, appropriate things. And so his royal dainties would mean that he gives the very best. He's not the kind that's going to give you his leftover tea bags. He's the kind that's going to give you that which is appropriate and the very best. And so we find here in Asher, I believe, the indications of a happy and generous person. Now, what does Moses then say about Asher? Well, as we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33, in verses 24 and 25, we find then the ministry of this man, this happy, generous person. And we find that Moses says of him in Deuteronomy 33:24, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Now, in the Hebrew there are many times a lack of the verbs, and that's why you'll notice here in italics you'll have let be. Actually, this doesn't have to be translated let him be. It could be translated blessed is Asher. It would be as equally good a translation, blessed is Asher. And then it says with children. This is a possible translation, although I think if we compare the usages in other places, I think we will find that in other places these same words have other translations. For example, in Judges chapter 5 and verse 24, we have a reference to Jael. Remember that she was the one that helped conquer Sisera as he was escaping, and she told him to come in, and she gave him, he was thirsty, and she gave him milk to drink, and then she put the tent spike through his temples and helped Israel conquer their enemy that way. And so Israel afterwards had the song, blessed above women is Jael. And so the words there, blessed above women, is the very same structure, the very same words and the very same structure that we have here with Asher. Blessed be Asher above children. And of course, children, you have here the word sons. It can mean children, but basically it's in the Hebrew, the masculine form can be only masculine, or it can include the feminine as well. And so we could translate this here, according to Judges chapter 5, we could translate this, blessed be Asher above sons. In other words, above other men, and possibly even above his brethren in many ways. And so we have here the fact that Asher was blessed of God in many ways above other men. Now, Jael was an otherwise unknown woman. Aside from that one event, we probably never would have heard of her. But this one event made her stand out in a unique way, even though she was otherwise an unknown person. And we find this is true as we study the tribe of Asher, that there were no great leaders, really, from the tribe of Asher. As we look through the Old Testament and study the tribe there, we find, for example, that in 1 Chronicles 27, 16 to 22, where we have the lists of the heads of the tribes under David, that Asher was not mentioned. We don't know why, but perhaps there was a lack of outstanding leadership there. In Judges chapter 5 and verse 17, others of the tribes that went to battle, this great battle, and yet Asher had no great leaders to contribute to this. And so we do not find any great men, really, any outstanding prominent men in the Old Testament from the tribe of Asher. You hear a lot about Judah and the great men of Judah and the kings of Judah, and you hear about Levi and the priests and Joseph, but you really don't hear anything about Asher and the tribe of Asher, the sons of Asher. Yet we have seen that he was a very happy and very generous person, delighting in giving people very special and appropriate gifts. But we don't find anything outstanding by way of leadership. But Moses says, in any case, he is a person very much blessed of God. We find also that Moses says here, let him be acceptable to his brethren. Or once again, this could be, he shall be acceptable to his brethren. And another characteristic then of Asher, accepted by his brethren. And I believe this would be a fact that he was not necessarily a wish, indicating that he was a very likable person, a person who was nice to have around, a sociable person. And Moses says, he shall dip his foot in oil. Now, as we look at the map and see where Asher was located, we notice here the location of Asher, right up on the coast, this very fertile plain alongside the Mediterranean Sea. Asher had a good location there. And we read, as we study the geography of the land, that that part of the land was one that abounded in wheat and oil. In fact, even still today, there are olive trees that abound in that general area where Asher had their inheritance. And so it was an abundant area by way of material provisions. As we note in 1 Kings 5:11, that Solomon provided wheat and oil in abundance for Hiram. Historians believe that probably a good deal of that wheat and oil that Solomon sent to Hiram was from this very valley where Asher was. And so there would have been an abundance of oil there. And Moses says, he shall dip his foot in oil. Perhaps the idea being that in those days, as they walked along the dusty paths, their feet became very hot in their sandals, and with the dryness of the dust would perhaps crack, and there was nothing more delightful upon arriving at their destination than to have their feet washed. And then if there was sufficient means to provide it, to have their feet rubbed down with oil. And so this would show an abundance that Asher had. He had plenty of oil to be able to not only use it for the necessities of cooking, but also for the using it upon his feet. And so he had an abundance of this for his own use, and then also for his generosity to be able to give to others. Moses says also, thy shoes shall be as iron and brass. Now the word there for shoes is only used here in the Old Testament. There's no other place where it's used, and so we kind of have to get the meaning from the context. And our translators chose the word shoes. Many commentators feel that perhaps Better choice might be the word door bolt, since there is another word very similar to this that has a similar meaning, indicating that perhaps the bolts of his doors, the hinges and the hardware of his doors, and perhaps the bars of his castles, would be made of iron and brass or copper, showing a prosperity and perhaps even a simple elegance that Asher had, indicating perhaps a prosperity of Asher an appropriateness. As you come to a door and you see the iron and the brass, and Asher had just a simple elegance in his dwelling, that everything there was very appropriate, and yet at the same time he was very generous with others. And so I think we have here a beautiful balance in the life of Asher. God blessed him in many ways. He had the blessing of God in provision. He took care of what he had and shared it with others. You know, sometimes what people have is so much junk it isn't worth sharing with others. Or else if they do take care of it, they take care of it so well that they don't share it with anybody else. I think we have here a beautiful balance with Asher. God blessed him and he had nice things and he was willing to share them with others. And finally Moses says here, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now, Christians down through the ages have laid hold on that particular phrase of Asher. They might never have known of whom it was said. And if you'd said, who was Asher? Well, I really don't know. Even though many times they might have said themselves, well, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And so it was Asher that was used of God to give us that very helpful phrase. And I think it's legitimate to interpret it this way, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. In other words, that God will give us daily provision for the trials that he sends to us. He will give us the wherewith to meet those trials, to give us strength for each day. I believe that's a legitimate usage we can have of that phrase. I believe also there's the additional interpretation we can have, that he would have no loss of strength even to his old age. In other words, right to the last, Asher would be a happy, generous person. And I think that we find this true in many cases. A happy person, even in old age, can just be a delightful person. And I think that Asher had the promise here that he would just be vibrant to the end of life, a vibrancy and a joy right to the end. Just a quiet greatness in this man. Not really famous, and yet in his own quiet way, he was a delightfully indispensable person. And we have some references in the Old Testament additionally to Asher. We find, for example, in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 11, that Hezekiah called a Passover, first one that had been called for a long time. And many of the tribes made fun of him and ridiculed him, and they mocked the idea of going up to a Passover to Jerusalem. They hadn't had anything like that for so long. But we do read in that portion that several or many from Asher humbled themselves and came. So we have here a godly person. We have here a tribe that showed faithfulness to the word of God, and many from Asher came up to that Passover and celebrated that Passover under Hezekiah. We find also in Luke chapter 2, verse 36, that Anna, who had been in the temple for so many years, when the Savior was brought into the temple, how she praised God for the answer to prayer, how she had been in the temple for so many years, spending those years in intercession, and she was from the tribe of Asher. Once again, an indication of the deep spirituality of that tribe. And so we have here a generous man, a happy man, a deeply spiritual man, no big fanfare about him, and yet just solid for God right on down through the ages to the place where Anna in the temple was from the tribe of Asher. And as I thought about this, I thought, you know, what would the church do without these quiet plodders? Those who don't make a lot of noise, but you can always count on them. They're there. They don't have to have the limelight, but they're just plain solid for God. Just constantly sharing the blessings of God with others. Happy, generous, loyal people. You can't discourage them. You can't offend them, because their faith and their joy goes beyond their present circumstances. And just what a joy then to have a church full of this kind of people. Happy, generous, loyal people. No discontent, no disloyalty, no dissension. Just quietly giving of themselves for the work of the Lord. And as I thought about that, I thought about the Savior's words in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 30, where he says to his disciples, he said, "Now many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." In other words, there are many that have the limelight in this life, that are always up front and always have the preeminence. And Jesus said, you know, there are many that are first that are going to be last. He didn't say all, but he said many. Many that are first are going to be last. And then he said, and many that are last are going to be first. Now I just wonder how many ashers is going to be up in the front row. God giving them the fruits of their labors, of their faithful, loyal, generous service for Christ, right on down through the ages. There are going to be, I believe, a good many ashers up in the front row. And as we think of that, we ask ourselves then, well, where do these ashers come from? These happy, generous, loyal people. Well, they come from mothers who can say, "Happy am I." And the reason is because babies are smart people. So we bow in prayer. Father, we thank Thee tonight for the godly Christian homes represented here tonight. How we thank You, Father, for the happy mothers. What a joy to know the fruit that this is going to bring in generations to come. Father, we thank You for the faithful fathers here whose goal it is to make their wives joyous, radiant wives. And we recognize again the importance of this. Down through the generations, we'll see the fruit of this kind of goal. Lord, I thank You tonight for the ashers in this church. Faithful, loyal, generous people. You can't offend them. You can't discourage them. Because their happiness is built in God. So I thank You and pray, Father, that You would grant to us that our heritage as a church might be down through the generations, that there shall be in our midst all kinds of ashers. Mentioned last on the list, but certainly not last in the sight of God. And one day, probably, we'll be right up in the front row, because Jesus said there's going to be a lot of them that have been considered last, that are going to be first. We thank You for this. In Jesus' name.